Star on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Great time to talk some very, very important issues, don't you think so? Now, I remember yesterday we were supposed to have our great debate on the provision of the Electoral Act that talks about, you know, some caliber of people, that is political appointees, not having the right to actually vote as delegates and not to be voted for, and also not to have the right to, you know, vote for others in any congress or convention of the party. Now, the president did not mince words in speaking up about his own little grounds with that section, and that was why he was a bit reluctant, even though he signed eventually, but he has transmitted the letter to the National Assembly to, of course, work on that particular aspect and see that it is sorted out, because he seems not so comfortable with it. Yesterday, I sought your opinions to know what you think about that, and if it should remain or go because of the debate and the back and forth that is going on among legal luminaries and even Nigerians as to whether that should stay for the betterment of Nigeria, or it should go because it seems to be against the constitution or the spirit of the constitution. But, well, like I told you, I'll be having an amazing guest, and he is seated with me right here in the studio. He is Francis M. Mwara, ESQ, and he's here so we get to look at that part of the Electoral Act properly. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. And you?
Yes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Making out the time to come.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, so, I mean, how did you feel eventually when the president signed that Electoral Act?
Yeah, good afternoon, listeners. Everybody just like you, both the women on the street and the men,
yeah.
Everybody was happy. For the first time, just like the football game, both the opposition and the proposition and the other parties, everybody, they were all happy, and they, for the first time, everybody actually applauded our president. Yeah, so we're all happy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because you know, that
it was actually a journey of 13 years.
Yeah, a journey of 13 years.
You understand that it started far back after the, sorry, 12 years, sorry, 12 years, a journey of 12 years, after the 2010 Amendment Act that we've been using.
Yeah.
So from 2010 to 2022. So it's just like a journey of, you know, of 12 years. So
honestly, and that's quite long. Yeah, 12 years is quite a long time.
Despite the fact that the bill was even proposed, it was started in 2017. You understand, back and forth and all those things. So at least we're happy. Nigerians are happy.
Yes. All right. So let's get down to it, because this is where I want us to really look at. And then we'll also take a look at other areas that are of importance for Nigerians to know, because we need to really get educated based on the importance of this Electoral Act. Section 84 is one section that has really, really garnered lots and lots of conversation, discussion, debates, etc. Because the president actually made his mind known about that. The president expressed optimism that National Assembly would expunge the controversial Section 84, Subsection 12 in the Electoral Act, which mandated government appointees to resign their position 3 months ahead of primary elections of political parties to be delegated. They should not be delegates. They should not be voted or voted for in that. And he said it goes against the spirit of So you are a legal practitioner here. So let's know what your opinion is and take on this.
Yeah, really, like what you just stated, it's just a suggestion.
Yes.
You understand? He actually, he suggested that, see, from information gathered and everything, I feel Section 84, Subsection 12 of the Electoral Amendment Act of 2022 that was signed on the 25th of February, you understand, that should be deleted. That is even what the word he used.
He used.
That it should be deleted.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be deleted completely. To me, excuse me. To me, I actually don't see any need. I don't see the need for the deletion.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see the need for deletion because there is
no controversy. Tell me why.
Yeah, there is no controversy. If you see some of the sections he cited while transmitting, you know, while he sent the letter to the National Assembly for the purpose of that deletion, you know, you notice that he cited certain sections, you understand, that gave him he cited certain sections, you know, to say by virtue of these sections that talks about the need for all members now, you know, the political parties, their flag bearers, you understand, that will be elected to resign 30 days before the election.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm.
So if the constitution provides for 30 days, why should the section 84, section 12, you know, sorry, section 84 sub 2 of the Electoral Act,
say 3 months.
You understand, which follows the constitution, which is our grandom, why should we not give a longer day?
Longer time.
You understand?
3 months.
So by virtue of it, but actually, I'm so, with all humility, you know, and sense of responsibility to our president, the contest, actually, the other particular section, those sections that I actually have, you know, referred to, were actually misquoted. They were actually cited out of context.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you see that section 84, if you go to the Electoral Act, you see the caption, the heading of that from section 70 something or so of the Electoral Act that talks about, you know, that goes down and now, you know, have the issue of section 84 that talks about party.
Yeah.
It is just like a replica of what is already contained in our constitution. You understand? Of the 1999 constitution that talks about that section 221. If you go to section 21 that talks about 221, that talks about political parties. You understand? Of the constitution, it says, it talks about internal, it just, you know, it talks about internal democracy of the political party.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's not referring to election per se, you being a flag, a, you know, bearer of a particular party as regards this position of maybe Senate, House of Assembly, you understand, or governor, or president, or whatever. No. You understand? This section talks about the internal democracy of the party.
Of the party?
Now, if, for example, now, as a party, a member of a particular party,
yeah,
if there's a need for you to have delegates, you understand, because definitely that is the processes, the process of becoming a flag bearer. You must talk about, you must first of all be a registered member of that particular party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a registered member, before the period of the election, there should be what they call certain persons, you understand, selected or elected, or, you know, agreed upon to go and represent, to carry, bear the flag as regards a particular position.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
In that, from that particular party. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So now, when you now become, so it is the process of now saying, okay, we want to select this one or two persons that will represent us, in now choosing a fine, you understand, person that will now be the flag bearer that section 84 is talking about.
Okay.
You understand? So it has to do with just the internal party, not for the purpose of election per se.
Mm.
You understand?
Okay.
You understand? So not for the purpose of election per se that you now say, okay, yes, there is a limit. For the purpose of election, yes, you must resign 30 days. You understand? But for the purpose of you now going to say, okay, I want to go and join our party members, let's do the activity, and now say, okay, we've agreed, we're going to go either by direct primaries or indirect primaries. Okay, no, we won't have the consensus to say, okay, this person. So for the purpose of those deliberations, you must resign
3 months before.
You understand?
Before you participate,
before you even participate in that particular.
Yeah.
Or if, for example, you want to be part of it, you must also resign.
You must resign.
So you see, it has nothing.
That's fair enough.
You understand? So it has nothing to do with the election per se.
Elections per se.
You understand? Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you know the problem actually.
But even though it has to start at the party levels, even before it gets to the major election, right?
You must
somehow.
No, it has nothing. Why I say it has nothing per se is because if, for example, you are somewhere. If you are somewhere, let's say you are still a appointee or a governor, or so, you know, and you are going about the normal business of your office, the functions, and those delegates, those people now that actually have decided to be, you know, selected or elected, you know, to go and decide the fate of one or two persons, decide to go there and say, okay, this person, that particular person that is there, is I think let's nominate him. You can see it has nothing. You may not be part of it, and you can be nominated. You can be elected. You can be decided upon to say, okay, this person should go and represent us without you being part of it. Are you getting it?
I guess.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So you can be somewhere and they will just go and agree and say, okay, yes, this person, you understand, go and nominate, go and just, this person will be our flag bearer when the time comes. So we'll now submit the names without you. But if you want to be part of it, You cannot be a political appointee, for example, like the definition of, you know, where they start talking about, some people actually digressed and went further to start talking about who is the public officer and decided section 318, and some people agreed and says, okay, no, there is no, a political appointee is not a public officer. Some, you know, went ahead to say, okay, no, a political appointee is a, you understand, a public officer. Because some people actually saw it from the angle of retirement. They are, you know, and actually also the attitude of the courts. Because if you look at the decisions, there are various decisions of the courts.
Yeah.
That actually some decisions before now actually defined and says, okay, anybody that is a political appointee, a commissioner, attorney general of federation, attorney general of state also, these are all political appointees.
Yeah.
You are not a public officer.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But there is even a recent decision of Court of Appeal. You understand that? That has to do
but
with...
But I think Section 84 talks about political appointees.
Yes. So really? Now, they are now, so that's why political appointee as, you understand, regard, you know, some people digress actually, decide to leave the main issue and start talking about, okay, political appointee because of the people that actually seem to be having interest in that particular section.
Yeah.
There are some persons that have been fingered to say, okay, yes, if this section, meaning they have to, you understand, actually relinquish that particular office, you know, many months, you understand. So if they do, how will now would they be able to win power? And now say, okay, no, you and this, for the fact that I'm sitting here, if you can go and let's go and rally and vote for me, nominate me so that I can represent you in this capacity, I will now compensate you with this, so that 30 days before, of the, before the election, at least would have benefited one or two things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So those would have been victim, I think, that have actually been, you know, and the attitude of some other interpreters actually have been the one that actually caused this problem. In reality, there is no conflict. By virtue of the letter of the president that cited section 40 and section 42 of the constitution. You understand, section 42 that talks about freedom of association. You can belong to any kind of group, political party and whatever. You understand? So if they are saying they should, you know, it conflicts with section 40 and section 42, you understand, it talks about you know, you understand, some other rights, you understand, now that, and if they do that, they are trying to limit their right to say, okay, because you are not a political appointee, you cannot participate in delegate, you understand, in the affairs of your country, or you can participate as a flag bearer. Of that is not the provision.
All
that
right.
Is not even the intendment. That is even not the interpretation. Because we can read it if you go look at the section 84 subsection 12. You understand? And now go to section. You look at when you start from even the section. If you can have it, if you go through section and you go through.
Do you
section,
have it there? So
yeah,
that
let me send the soft copy now while here, if you wish.
No, I mean you can just read it.
Yeah, now section 84 subsection 2. If you see from the provision. You know, because even, you know, the problem, if you look at, because the Electoral Act actually, it's an act of 10 chapters. Every chapter actually has the intendment of whatever you are expected to see in that particular section. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look
there's
at...
plans where
hold on.
You can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle, are running, leaving...
This is Sunnyside on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, thank you so much for staying here. This is the Sunny Side, and of course, Barrister Francis M. Wara, or you can just call him Francis Wara, Esquire. I'm sure you prefer that, right?
Esquire for real.
Yes, that's how they call him. Joins me this afternoon as we take a look at that controversial session of the Electoral Act, Section 84, and Subsection 12. And some other parts that we will be exploring as time permits us. It's already 1:27 in the studio. So, Kensko, you wanted to go through that section?
Yeah, I wanted, I said, you know, if you look at the parts, you know, I said the Electoral Act is actually divided into parts.
Yes.
Now, if you go to parts, the part 5, now, that talks about political parties.
Yes.
And you now just oppose it with section, you just oppose it with section 221 of the Constitution that also talks about political parties. You understand?
Mm.
You see that under it, section 84,
subsection
12, reads with also its own heading. You understand? It reads as, it has a heading, political appointee not eligible as voting delegates or aspirants. clearly stated there.
Okay.
Now, the 12 says, sub 12 says, no political appointee at any level shall be a voting delegate or be voted for at the convention or congress of any political party for the purpose of the nomination of candidates for any election. Can you see? So this is for the purpose of the election, for the purpose of nomination of the candidate.
Okay.
Now, the truth is, it will be fair. Let's assume we're saying you are a political appointee. You know, let's say you've been appointed the Attorney General of Kaduna State.
Yes.
And you actually have, you've been nursing the ambition of becoming the governor of Kaduna State.
Yeah.
It will be fair that while those activities are going on, because of your interest, you now leave the function, what you've been appointed for, to just go and be going for one meeting or the other for the purpose of neglect the main job, for the purpose of trying to now say, okay, me, I want to struggle and see how I can be made the flag bearer. I'll be nominated to be the candidate of my party.
Yeah.
So automatically, while the money, the innocent taxpayers' money, is being wasted. Because definitely we paid for, you know, being a commissioner or whatever, you understand, of that particular, of you understand, of your state. But you've left the job for who? Just to go and look for something that at the end of the day will be for your own selfish interest. So I think there is no conflict. You understand?
Yeah.
There is no conflict because this particular session talks about, you know, for the delegates, for the purpose of delegates trying to deliberate either personally or for the purpose of elect nominating one other person that will now qualify the constitutional provision of what? That 30 days.
Yeah.
It is when you are nominated, then you now start preparing to to leave office 30 days before. You understand?
Yeah.
So if you know you don't want to relinquish office 30 days before, you understand? Have nothing to do with delegates.
Exactly.
Have nothing to do with all those whatever. Then pray or do your kind of, you know, groundwork so that whoever that is going to represent people at the your party should have you at the back of his mind and say, okay, no, this person is fit and, you know, for this, and now nominate you.
Yeah.
So that you'll be there 30 days before. Plus one to all the provisions, if you understand, provision of section 66, section 107, you understand, section 137, and also section, you know, section 137, and also section 182, that talks about the National Assembly, that talks about the House of Reps, that also talks about the President and the, you know, the governors. You understand? So it is where that particular section now has been invoked, that the issue of 30 days
actually comes in.
Comes in.
Comes into effect. I think
you understand?
Yeah,
so you can see how clear and direct it is. So the citing of section 40 of the constitution that talks about right to peaceful assembly, and the citing of section 42 that talks about freedom of discrimination, you understand, and now equating it to the section, the provision of section 56 that talks about 30 days, the provision of section 102 that talks about 30 days of the House of Reps, if you want to contest for that, the section of, you know, 137, 182 that talks about the president and the governors, you know, that you must actually, you know, you must, you understand, relinquish power 30 days before the election proper, you understand, you know, has nothing to do with section 84, subsection 12.
12.
Of the electoral. So, and it is by virtue of that not ultra-virus the constitution.
Okay. That's so I think we get it very, very, very clear right now what you know, the spirit of that provision
that,
of the new electoral act actually means.
You know,
it's not in contravention.
It has nothing. It has
nothing
no
to do with
it. Has, you know, because the problem started from where people wanted to start defining who is the public officer.
So are we going to say, are we going to say the president is ill-advised on this? Because I mean, you would understand, you would.
Desperation. It is desperation from the, you know, because the truth, you know, just like when we say, you know, the first proposal for this bill started on the 30th of March, 2017, by the former Senate President, the National Assembly of, led by Senator Bukola Saraki and Honorable Dogara. They started, they proposed all this, and it went back and forth. They will go, at the end of the day, say direct primaries, no, okay, why did you say the president should be the last person to be elected? You know, you understand that controversy, so they sent it back. You remember?
Yes.
You know,
I do.
They say, you understand, that they say the president will be, they sent it back, it has been back and forth. So at the end of the day, after they complied, the president said, no, there is no way I can sign this because it is shortly before the election. So if there is any problem, what do you think? So it's better, let's just leave it, let's use this, the Electoral Act of 2010. And after this election, so they brought it back again, immediately after the election, you know, the president said, you understand, that, okay, why did you bring in direct primaries? you know, that because if you don't bring in, you know, why did you understand? Because the direct primaries would definitely benefit the governors who are the grassroots, you know. So they supported that. So they said, no, okay, we are going to include indirect primaries. And then they included those, the National Assembly, House of Assembly, they included indirect primaries so that it also benefit them.
Mm.
You understand, who are here, who are not grassroots, you know, galvanizers of the people, you understand, for the purpose of election, voting. Now the senators, the House of the National Assembly said, okay, for the fact that we are talking about direct and indirect, let us add consensus. So that if direct is not, you know, beneficial for the party, you can go for indirect. If the indirect is not, you can just agree on a party, you know, a particular candidate and say, okay, go and represent us at this level.
Mm.
So, but this particular controversial section now that they are making it, which is not controversial per se, so sorry, this particular section, 84 subsection 12, was actually added by, that is the only input of the 9th Assembly.
Mm.
In this election, in this electoral,
are you kidding me?
Nice,
and then right now the president asking them to amend it or even delete
to delete. That's what he's saying.
That means
because it was actually brought in by the 9th Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
He is saying they should delete it because of the fear. If they can sit down, what is there must you participate for you to be nominated to represent a party?
Exactly.
You know, that confident here.
If you're that confident,
yes,
then you cannot
sit there. If you are sit there. You cannot be here and be there.
You know, it just speaks of a certain kind of attitude.
The attitude.
Like, you know, desperation. You're so desperate.
Yes.
Okay,
you want to be everywhere.
You want
because
to be
if you're not here, even your shadow, you're afraid of your shadow.
Exactly.
You don't want to, because if you are so confident, you sit there. If you're not, confident, relinquish power and go and be part of this thing and now see, let's see how people will respect you, because you understand that people respect power, not personality.
So now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, having said all of that you have said, and I mean, it provides a really in-depth, an in-depth into appreciation into what this section is all about.
Yeah.
How do you think the National Assembly would respond to the president? I mean, if you have the fact that there are not some people who have been able to say no to the president per se. I mean, even with the utterance of the Senate president in times past, we know that they're always willing to do the bidding of the president.
Yes.
And you are the one who have said it right now, that's their only input. So
yeah, they have. So the truth is, I foresee them rejecting it. Yeah, because it is their input. That's the only input they have in this electoral. The issue of relinquishment of that section, 84 subsection, they added it. Because if you remember from that 2017 that I gave you history, the first rejection, third rejection, fourth rejection, to this fifth one, that was, you know, it's on the issue of minor thing, one clause or the other, indirect, not indirect, president must be voted last, so that after they finish voting for the National Assembly and all those, would make now go and, you know, and now vote him out and all those things, you know, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So this is their input, so I foresee them rejecting it because it has no conflict. There is no conflict. The sessions cited by the president to now advise the National Assembly to delete it is not applicable.
It's not applicable.
Even if you at the end of the day decide to define those political appointees to be public officers, because by virtue of the case of, I can give you, there's a recent case of I just mentioned, I say the case of the former commissioner of Agric. Kogi State. It was decided on the 22nd also of this January, Court of Appeal, and it defines and decided and held that a political appointee, which like a commissioner of Agric, is a public officer by virtue of Section 318, subsection 1 of the 1999 Constitution.
Mm.
And if you even go to the Interpretation Act, it defines a public officer to include political appointee by. You understand?
Mm.
By community reading.
Mm.
So there is nothing that you say political appointees are not public officers. They are.
They are. I mean, would I a political appointees come and be serving me
your private capacity?
Exactly.
No.
It's not.
So by virtue of those combination and plethora of cases, they are all. That is not even the issue.
Mm.
This section 84 subsection 12 has no conflict with the Constitution because it has no bearing. No direct bearing with the cited section of section 66 subsection 1F, section 107 subsection 1F of the 1999 Constitution, section 137 subsection 1G, section 182 subsection 1G of the 1999 Constitution that talks about the limitation of power 30 days before. it has no bearing. This one is talking about internal democracy of the political party, while this one is talking about election proper. So there is no conflict.
All right. No conflict. No conflict. At least we have gotten that. Now let's look, just pick out maybe one or two. We don't have so much time. And just get to look at it. Section 29, subsection 1 provides that parties must conduct primaries and submit their list of candidates.
Yeah.
At least 180 days before the general election.
See, this is where, this is where they are actually feeling that, okay, if we must submit 180 days, does it mean that this, because definitely this is where the business must happen before this 180 days.
Yes.
So they are now saying that, okay, are we now going to now, for the fact that this is where the problem, they are linking it to this, to say, for the fact that they say, you know, you must relinquish power, you understand, and go and now, you know. So really, if you must be part of this, if you must be part of this to now nominate, to get to nominate or participate in nominating persons, you understand, you must leave power 180 days before.
Exactly.
You must. But if you know you don't want to be part of it, then go ahead, sit wherever you are. When they nominate you, fine, you can still be there. Your name will have been submitted. If your name is submitted, then you can now leave. You understand? So it has no conflict.
That's interesting. Okay. Because many people say it's a welcome development.
Yes.
Because under the old act, political parties had a period of 60 days.
60 days, which is short.
Which is short, quite short.
Short,
this lengthened time, I think, is a very good one.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, looking at section 3, subsection 3.
That talks about funds.
Funds for general elections.
For general elections, that they must release it.
At least 1 year
at least
before
1 year. So that they don't
how do you see this?
It is good. So that, you know, because some of this holding of this, that's why we're talking about, if you hear of the judiciary, talking about autonomy of the judiciary.
Yes.
It's just to avoid, you know, this executive has a way of controlling something somehow.
Yeah.
Now, if they hold the money, you'll be begging that every day you'll be going to the office trying to say, okay, let them release this money now. We'll have a few days. At the end of the day, may have forced you into one or two bargain or to into one or two hitches. That at the end of the day, if they release the money, you may go in a hurry to do that. At the end of the day, don't say it is the court that decide who is our representatives,
because
it would have been one or two loopholes that the court will, you know, one or two the lawyers will rely on. You understand? You know, we rely on and get the court to decide and set aside one or two things.
Barrister Francis, right?
Yes,
looking at this provision in line with, you know, the time frame within which the president signed this electoral act right now, it's less than a year.
Yeah, now that particular one we're talking about now, that particular signing of the president is issue of transmission.
Okay.
You understand? For it to assent, there is a period upon which if the National Assembly actually passes a bill, you understand, upon, you know, they have to now send it to the president to assent.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. I'm talking about the period of time.
Yes.
He just signed it, I think, on the 25th of February.
Yeah, so it's left for now, the INEC now, to now have a timetable.
Okay, so depending when the timetable now comes out.
Yeah, they actually had the timetable. They've actually brought out the timetable.
Yes, I know that the timetable is out.
They contemplated this.
Okay, they contemplated this.
The one,
so you think it's still going to be within the time frame?
Yes, it's going to be within.
All right, that's interesting. Tender the voters register. Okay, no, this is, I think, part of the other one.
Yes,
I think I left it.
Yes.
Okay, section 51 provides that the total number of accredited voters will become a factor in determining overvoting at election tribunals. That's interesting.
Before it is,
so how would this pan out for us?
Yeah, it's good. Because before, now that's where you say at the end of the day, because even if it is there, the presiding officer, you understand, cannot be able to now nullify the election, because that particular, he does not have the power to order for votes. So he cannot have the power to cancel anybody's vote. Before now.
Yes.
So by virtue of this, now they've empowered the INEC if there is overvoting, you understand?
Yes.
We're talking about it provides for total number of candidate voters become a factor
of overvoting.
When there is overvoting, you can decide when you look at it, you see that the people that have voted are even more than the people that were accredited.
So definitely
there is something that is manipulation. So they have the power to decide there and then how to handle that result.
Okay.
But before now, you have to take it to court.
That's interesting.
To decide it.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's a great one for us, though. Section 47 gives legislative backing for smart card readers and other voters.
Before now, electronic voting. The electronic voting was introduced by our former chairman, INEC Chair, who is a Jega. You understand? Who decided on its own in 2015. Say, we've been talking about this thing. So by virtue of, you know, before, you know, we have three principal laws that actually guide our electoral processes. The Constitution, which is the ground norm, or the Electoral Act, and the manual voting guideline. Now, by virtue of the voting guideline, he's there to do what? He now is there to, you know, do a voting guideline that recognized, what is it called, card reader.
Yes.
So by virtue of that, the cadre that they used, you understand, and election took place and everything, that, you know, took, you know, that brought in the present president.
Yes.
But people like the governor of River State and that will actually challenge it. So at the Supreme Court, at the end of the day, they say there is no way you can decide by virtue, because this amendment, you said, it's not contemplated in the Constitution, it's not in the Electoral Act. Why would you use a manual, which is like a procedure, to now override the content of the Electoral Act that recognizes only manual voting?
Manual voting.
You understand? And the Constitution that gives rise to the election, you know, the Constitution does not recognize the manual, your guideline, you understand? In that sense, there is no way you can elevate the provision of the manual over the Electoral Act. So they set it aside.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So by now it is now recognized now to be a part of our law.
So generally, how do you see this act, you know, affecting the course of, I don't know if this is going to be applicable for Ekiti and Osun State.
Yeah, it should be. It should be.
So how is it going to start changing? How is it going to start changing the course of our subsequent elections?
It has already started. You know, it has given you the confidence at the, you know, at the comfort of your office here, your room, wherever. You can either go online, if you have the provision, go, you can get accredited, you can sit, so that you just only go for the purpose of voting. If they won't have the capacity, they can deploy voting, systematic vote, manual and electronic voting going on together. So there are some areas that are prone, that are no-go area, you can decide to deploy gadgets, and people will vote. So you see, it has actually gone, so it's just left for us now to take advantage with the masses. Because the truth about this Electoral Act, It is a compendium of different interests. Compendium of different interests from the executive, the legislature, and the all and the masses. But the truth, it actually has less. It is from those compendium of the general of those different interests that you have to now go and look at which one now fits, you know, benefits me more. Then you leverage on it. You as the masses, for the fact that you could, maybe you are not there, issue of voting and also, you know, at the comfort of your zone is something that benefits you. So why not take advantage of it? You understand?
Yeah.
And so it's an all-encompassing.
And you're very confident.
Very, very confident and comfortable with it, that it will actually change the trend.
All right.
You can, yes.
All right,
it's
so
not
guys,
going to be business as usual.
It's not going to be business as usual. Yeah. Now, do you think so? I mean, as you've also heard the in-depth, you know, analysis of what that Section 84, Subsection 12 is all about. It's not authorized in the Constitution, and so there's no need for deleting it from this Act. He says he foresees the National Assembly actually not, because that is one of their...
That is the only input.
The President saying delete that or amend that, you know, because I'm not comfortable with it. How would they react to that? Let's know what your take is this afternoon. Joining the conversation, dial the number 0700-951-0000, and you can also send a WhatsApp message or use the WhatsApp line to call if you want to, especially the ladies, get involved, and let's talk this afternoon, even as we examine the Electoral Act right here on the Sunny Side. You can call 07, okay, I think I've called the numbers already. Now, we have some messages that have come in already. This one says, good afternoon, Swat, please. Okay, no, I'll do that. All right, let's take on this. Hello? Hello? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Swat.
Hi.
Good afternoon, so I guess.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, my name is Engineer Femi.
Welcome, Engineer Femi.
You have, your man has really, resource person has really done justice in a quintessential way to this topic. I mean, like building from the foundation to the finishing. Oh, that adorns my heart. Now, please lend credence to what we've always said about our leadership. Ukraine now, you see members of House and senators carrying guns, and instead of leaving, even women, instead of leaving, saying they want to defend their country, their people, their territorial integrity. Our own is to defend themselves and their province. How is it that someone, for example, like the Attorney General, for example, wants to contest as a president, using all this paraphernalia now, come out and start influencing people, and then you know that if you go against it, you can call one court person and then there will be a case or send the FCC, just like what has happened to Odili, that we are still investigating the matter, and those people are blamed that this influence has been used. How is that free and fair election? Is that not what the president said? He will leave us the better and free and fair election. How is this free and fair? when you can use the apparatus of state, even the funds of state, and the vehicles and everything around you to run campaigns and do everything, how would you win election?
All right.
The competitors, you can put them up, make any allegation, and then scuffle their chance of. So if we don't want to do a proper election, we should just say it's not looking for reasons to take us back to 50 years back.
Thank you. Help us, thank you. Thank you, Jinatami. All right. Okay, someone is here. Hello.
Thank you, Swag.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
I beat your case.
I beat you, sir.
Yeah, well, you're welcome.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes. This is Comrade Ash, my name is from Cuba. I greet the first caller. See, I said, I have you, my brother. But I bet you, God will soon call and shall be with you. That's because of that sufficient trust we're talking about. You see, I keep saying it. I see who the former president, the highest senator. I will congratulate Nigerians for making sure that Mr. President signed this electoral amendment as law. After every attempt to spot everything, pray for 1999. I mean,
Well,
19, I think. 17. You know, people did not call this time for all these excuses when we signed into law. Information into law. Even though sometimes one of my friends was from NGS tried to, you know, work on that law to find out some things from government. Even though some of them doesn't obey it. But at least it's been there. It's already there. So I give it to my president. So for this particular president, I promise everything. Look at how long it took him. And even the electoral umpire now extended the electoral.
All right, Mr. Austin.
So what I'm saying is, congratulations to Nigerians who did all the coup. Make sure that they sign it into law.
All right.
Look at the areas that they are trying to respond or to remove. It is for their own selfish interest, not for the interest of Nigerians.
Thank you, Mr. Austin. Let's move on to other callers who are waiting. Hello.
Good afternoon, Ma.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
God bless you, Ma. How is the work?
Work is going good, thank you.
Okay. I just want to say thank you for the work you people are doing.
You're welcome.
God will continue to strengthen you people, bring it, make things happen in a way it should be in our nation.
Amen.
And I just want to make a complaint, please.
Is it now you want to make that complaint because we're taking comments on the?
Yes, it's urgent and it's very important.
Okay, quickly, what is it about?
Yeah, please, I need an assistance for my wife to learn a walk because
okay.
I stopped walking. I was sick and I stopped walking, so I don't know. I need a help. I really need a help for my wife to learn a particular walk.
All right. You know what we will do? We'll find an appropriate time for that to come in, please. We're having a conversation right now, and we can't turn it or stop it because of this. So you find a more appropriate time and send that message to us, and, you know, we'll know what to do about that. Thank you very much. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon. My name is James. I'm reaching you from Nassau.
Okay, welcome.
Let me commend you guys again for a very brilliant analogy.
Wow, switch off your radio, that noise. Switch off your radio, please.
My radio is off.
Okay, go ahead. It's clearer now.
Quickly, let me just say that beginning from 2016, it has clearly shown that the legal team of the president, headed by the Attorney General of the Federation, have been misleading the president regarding legal issues. If they cannot trace these differences, which has been highlighted by the lawyer here in the studio, that they are just trying to achieve their own personal interest. hiding the truth from the president regarding the law of the land. So it's very unfortunate. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for that contribution. Let's see who's here. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Kim.
Welcome, KD.
I think you are getting something eloquently well in the first public servant. If you go to Google, that's how you find it. To me, I think Mr. President is just trying to play into the hands of some selfish individuals who are misleading him. And we know them. Some of them want to go and contest as governors in the next election. And that is why they are tweeting all the, even if the law is not there, and the National Assembly, who has passed the resolution of making law, if they let it be law now, what is wrong there? Like again said, I look forward to seeing the National Assembly standing their ground, not to remove that clause, because I don't see the rationale why to be opposite using government resources, government property, to campaign with somebody from who is not having the same privilege. There is no fairness there. If you want to contest, really move to office, come as a neutral person, use their resources, and contest. I think Mr. President should have supported this without even wasting time, because it will act as legal. But trying to protect them, we cannot understand. Like he's trying to shell some people. And what is wrong? That should not be allowed. We hope the National Assembly will stand up to that this time around. They shouldn't be robust standards. It has always been the case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Katie. Okay, we're running out of time. Let's quickly read the messages before we go. I pray God doesn't make me say you understand every 5 to 10 seconds while having a conversation. You're not serious. Okay, hi, Swat, the guest, we are now aware of this amendment to, thanks to your guest, says Hafsat. Upasa in Central Area said, well done, Swab. The law is right. National Assembly shouldn't amend anything again. Then Uku Bile in Lifecom said, if the National Assembly refuses to delete the clause in contention, will the new electoral law, which the president signed with a reservation, be valid? What does the law say about accepting an offer with a condition or a reservation? I don't think it will do anything.
It's a contract, it's a law.
Yeah. Mm. Elder Lataja Richard from Ushafa said, good afternoon, Barrister. Thanks for the detailed explanation. Please, if I may ask, sir, don't we need to also look at the direction of our main constitution to know its own position on our electoral matters? This becomes very necessary so as to prevent those members of the bar and bench who may want to capitalize on the loopholes or differences between the two law in future on behalf of their clients, owing to the fact that our main constitution supersedes any other law. That's what he is saying. And then this one says, good afternoon, Swatan. The electoral amendment bill has come to stay. Nothing like deleting Olainka Nuruddin. Okay. And then Sunday from Garki said, please, I want to ask in respect of the electoral act, if a governor or president has to recontest, must he also resign before 3 months to election two? I doubt, right?
No, you see this, no, it has nothing to do with it. It doesn't 30, but depending on the number of, if he's qualified, and it has nothing to do with this delegate issue, then he will just resign.
Yeah,
just 30
but,
days.
Yeah. Because, okay, so as a governor, if you want to recontest, you have to...
No, you know, ordinarily, it's just because they've decided to bastardize certain things. You shouldn't be in an office.
Yes, when election is happening. Yeah, when election, yeah. So 3 months before, then you should. That is, I think, the right thing to do.
30 days.
Good afternoon, Madam Swat. Please tell that... okay, all right. Good afternoon, Swanton. I guess he has spoken well. National Assembly should not expunge any section of the amendment. Our politicians seem to be very selfish, says Mr. Iria from Godwin. Mr. Godwin from Area 11. All right. Mr. Francis, you heard all the comments this afternoon. What would be your final take on everything?
Yeah. My final take is just to say kudos to Nigerians. You know, kudos to the media houses. Kudos to the society groups, various the human rights, those that actually stood their ground to make sure that this bill, you understand, was assented.
Yes.
And passed into a law now, which is now a law, a standing law. The only thing is just for us Nigerians to take advantage of it, make sure we have our voters card,
yes,
go out, vote, have no fear that there is nothing.
Mm.
Our vote counts, that's just the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. With it's, this again, it's going to even count more.
Even much more.
Yeah, it's more, yeah.
All right, mm. So go out, get mm. all that you need to. Mm. The continual voter registration yes. is on. Ensure you get your PVCs, whatever you need to correct, mm. and also be ready. Mm. I think it's very, very important. Thank you so much for coming over this afternoon.
Pleasure,
really,
sir.
Really appreciate you. Mm. Francis Mora Esquire. Thank you too for coming.
Right,
look forward to having you some more again
pleasure.
In the future. Enjoy the rest
thank
of your
you.
Day.
All
right, we'll take this break and come back for the Sunny Conversation soon. Stay with us.
Inform the president of my intention.
I'm the most prepared presidential candidate in my life and opportunity to restore the dignity of Nigeria.
Year 2022. We take you back to all the stories that determine
how our foundational issues, we have economic issues, we have issues of development.
The future of the story. The future of election.
I announce that I seek the nomination of a political party for the office of the president of Nigeria.
The future of Nigeria.
You don't just wake up and say you want to be president of the country. I've prepared for it for over 30 years.
This is Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Just so you know how important this thing is, and I'll put it together for you in a parable. We're in a church. I'll put it together for you in a parable because we're in a church. How important it is for us to develop a culture of contempt, a national culture of contempt and hatred for certain things that we need to fundamentally reject about this country instead of benefiting, because the dysfunction and the chaos what I was calling the culture of irresponsibility that made me feel so uncomfortable in my first years in Canada, because I had grown. They have come to define us because those things work. They work for the Nigerian. It works, you know. And if it's not working for you, it works for the 1%. And then the 99% live in anticipation of the day they are going to make it, so that the same dysfunction and chaos and mediocrity will work to their advantage. We are not hating it yet. And let me show you why it is a psychological problem. And now, how are we going for time? Oh, I started that.